Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tabletop Radio Hour, your podcast for everything tabletop. My name is Zach, and this week I've got the regular crew. I've got Mark, and I've got Steve. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing stellar. How are you?
Oh, very stellar indeed. Very stellar awesome. Indeed. And Steve?
Everything's coming up aces.
You? Alongside my regular crew, we have a special guest here today. We have Adam Sink. Adam, how are you today?
Hey, everyone. I'm doing great. Coming at you from sunny Arizona, the coronavirus hotspot of the entire world.
We're hot on your heels here in Florida. Yeah.
Competition. Yeah, sure. Can't go outside. Might as well hang out here.
It's true.
Exactly. But if you don't know Adam is from the wonderful podcast Full Metal RPG with our friend that we've had on the podcast several times before. And I'm glad to have him back here.
Always happy to come back.
Today we are going to be playing Mark's game Astroventure. We're kind of, I guess, post playtesting this. we basically have all the rules and stuff, just good to go and ready to play.
Yes.
But yeah, I'll just hand this over to Mark and we can get going.
Great. Yeah. Astroventure is available on DriveThruRPG. So if you like what you hear, jump over and give it a shot. But everybody has their characters ready. So I guess yes. We just take a second to talk about character creation. It's designed so to be simple. Super simple. Yeah. There's three basic character types. You're a smart character, you're a strong character, you're a clever character. But everybody is kind of a combination of those. So what you do is you just prioritize them, one, two, or three. Three being the highest, one being the lowest. Then you add a modifier based on your race and give yourself a name. That's essentially it for character creation.
Yeah, it's super simple.
Yeah. So let's take a quick moment to introduce our characters. Adam, do you want to start us off?
Sure, I am playing Dirk Laser. He is a human from the Jupiteers faction. He is a strong type, somewhat clever and pretty dumb. So when all you got is a laser, every problem looks like something that can be solved with a laser.
Perfect. Beautiful. Next, Zach. Let's go with Zach next.
Oh, all right. My character is also an earthling, human earthling. Billy Reason. He is, here's a little bit of a view into the backstory of Billy Reason and Tex. We're protocol body slam. And I think that's all that you need to know.
Is that our team name?
I think that's our designation.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I am TX-1138, a robot assembled on Earth. And I've had various exploits with Billy Reason in the past. And I'm extremely smart, relatively strong, and not clever at all.
Sounds about right.
Perfect. Yes. So listeners are probably getting the flavor of this. This is a very old retro sci-fi rockets and lasers kind of adventure. It takes place in our solar system. It's something to consider is the science is using the word very loosely. It's
science is in quotation.
It is, yes. It's like those old serial sci-fi things. Not hard science, definitely soft science.
Definitely soft science. But it's fun. That's what makes it fun. Is exactly. Because we can kind of throw all of that logic and thinking out the window a lot of times and just do
right.
What we want.
As long as right. There's lasers, I'm good to go.
And there are.
With a Z.
So, yes.
With a Z.
So, the situation. Dirk Laser is actually part of a group called the Jupiteers, which is a faction that kind of runs... they're based out of Jupiter. They kind of deal with a lot of the outer planets. Billy and Tex are part of the inner core, which focus more on the inner planets and the stuff that's going on there. So Dirk is kind of currently kind of an exchange program. He's aboard the I think your ship was the GR-28 rocket ship, if I remember right.
Sounds right.
Yeah, I would say so.
He's aboard kind of a cultural exchange type thing. And you are actually Mars is kind of right in the middle of these two factions. So you're kind of patrolling just inside the asteroid belt, looking for keeping an eye on Martian movements, fleet movements, and looking for military buildup there to see if they could be gathering to attack in either direction, on either the inner planets or the outer planets. And as you're patrolling along, you get a your radio transceiver set kind of buzzes to life, and
rocket ship GR-28, rocket ship GR-28, are you there? Over.
Yes, this is GR-28. How can we be of assistance?
Is this Captain Reason?
Indeed.
This is Frarb. Frarb of the Martian Underground. We need your help. We need your help desperately. Can you come to Deimos immediately?
What is your status?
We've had a problem, and I don't want to talk about it over the radio, but if you can get here right away, we really need some help.
I mean, is this a video conference, or is this strictly radio communication?
This is radio communication, yeah.
Okay. We'll do what we can, but without a status, we don't know how to address this situation.
The status is we're in trouble. I thought I said that.
Now, I will remind you, Frarb is a friend of yours. You've dealt with him on several occasions. You've helped him out. So you recognize the voice. You know, yeah, this is somebody that you know well. We do recognize Frarb.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll approach then.
Okay.
Are they calling us to Mars?
Deimos.
Deimos.
To Deimos.
Thank you. Which is where the Martian underground is. And again, there's, you know, you've dealt with them before, but for the listeners at home, the main planet of Mars has Martians, which are a very military, aggressive species. But the planet Deimos has a race called Deimotians, and they organize the Martian underground. Frarb, you actually helped escape from the Martians and help set him up with the Martian underground a little while back. So, you know, you know of him, at least, and you've helped him before. So so you know where the camp is. You fly over into Deimos, you bypass the main city and go into some mountains where there's a base kind of carved into the side of the canyon walls, a lot of windows and stairways carved into the rocks, and a good size place where you can fly your rocket ship into and land. Deimos are basically your stereotypical little green men from Mars. They're very advanced. They're kind of small, green, pointy ears, you know, what you would expect that type of stereotype to look like. And you're there, and you are indeed met by Frarb, and there's several other Deimos working around. They, as soon as you land, they start powering up your ship and try to hook things up for you. So,
you said we see Frarb?
Yes, he's coming forward to greet you as you disembark. Right. And. Captain Reason, I'm so happy to see you. Thank you so much for coming. This is, we've had something kind of terrible happen.
What's happened, Rob?
We're afraid that there may be spy or a traitor in our midst. I don't know who to trust. That's why I need somebody from the outside to come in and look for us. We've had some items stolen from our warehouse.
Do you have a list of items?
Well, come on, I'll show you. He starts leading you in towards a, through the base and see people working and going back about their business. And
this is a demotion resistance base, or are they operating undercover in a regular slave labor camp thing?
This is the demotion home world.
Okay.
So this is where demotions are from. They live. So it's their base, and
everything
is kind of scaled to them. So you have to kind of duck through doors and that sort of thing. But no, this is not a place where the Martians themselves come, other than, you know, raiding parties to gather slaves perhaps, but they're not here.
I imagine Tex just like pops off his legs and like puts on like a little Jetsons style hover situation.
Tex does not bend at the waist, so I'm leaving a series of damaged door frames in my wake.
That's right. Tex doesn't bend at the waist. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
It's like one of those action figures you had to super glue when you were a kid. Yeah.
That's yeah. Me. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, Barb kind of is leading you every time there's a crunch of Tex going through a door, he kind of startles and looks back, but he kind of leads you through. It's just, we've gathered some of the a list of the items, and a lot of it is things that are like mining supplies, food stores, medical supplies, those sort of things. Interestingly, no weapons, which makes it seem like I don't think it would be Martians doing this. I can't understand it. Mm. He leads you to a warehouse, and the door is obviously broken open, and the stuff inside is disarrayed.
I'm with these guys, right?
Yes. Okay, yeah, you're absolutely. All together.
Yeah.
Sorry. Cool. Cool. So I'm there. I have my like chrome helmet on with this like translucent yellow faceplate with a crest that like tapers towards the back. I have this red jumpsuit with like white piping, white gloves and boots, and a little tiny jetpack on my back.
Beautiful.
Yes. I'll look at Barb and I'll say, I thought you guys didn't believe in personal property. You're the Red Planet, aren't you?
Actually, we're the moon of the Red Planet, so it's a little bit different.
Well, moon of the Red Planet, you're all a bunch of space commies, aren't you? I mean, they just repurposed this.
We're kind of fighting against the Reds, though, so it does...
You had me at, we're fighting against the Reds. We're going to make this planet safe for space capitalism.
Now to a commercial break.
Good.
And then I'll take out one of my, these are my Lucky Space cigarettes.
Yes.
Smooth, even taste. Nice. It's, you just really have to try it. It's the cat's whiskers.
Perfect. Yes.
Great. Beautiful.
So yeah, he's leading you around. You're seeing the stuff, that's stolen. He actually has a pretty accurate list, and it's a lot of, you know, mining supplies, tools, it's just kind of generic stuff, random stuff.
Is there any nothing connecting everything?
It's a lot of diverse stuff. You know, it's the stuff that would be needed. It's. The stuff that's here is the stuff that's needed for any kind of operation, really. So it's pretty diverse. But like you said, there was no weapons, which is interesting.
I'd like to make basically an investigation roll. So now that would be, I believe, smart versus thing would be a scientist roll for this.
Right. So the way this works, just to describe for the viewers at home, your three types determine how what you're trying to do in a situation. Are you trying to understand it? Are you trying to use it? Or are you trying to manipulate it? In this case, like you say, you're trying to understand it, so you use your smart type. Additionally, your actions are broken down by the target of what you're trying to deal with. Is it a thing? Is it yourself? Or is it someone else? In this case, as you said, it's things, the things around you. You're trying to understand those things. What that does is that creates putting those together creates a role, and you're trying to take on that role. So in this case, you're taking on the role of a scientist. Rather than using a skill in this game, you take on a role and play that role. So like you said, this is a scientist role. So in this case, you roll your smarts, and then you add your smart as a bonus.
Now, my smart's pretty high, so this is going to be, like, the best possible roll I can make.
Good.
And 16, 21.
21, yeah, okay. Nice. What is it you were looking for specifically?
I am looking for, basically, signs of entrance. Just it's sort of a PI roll to look around to see if there's any evidence left behind from who took the stuff.
Okay, yes, what you do notice, and this is something that Frob confirms, there doesn't seem to be, you know, the door is broken, but it's not a real sign of major force getting here. You know, there was the base was not attacked. Somebody was here, they...
That was me, sorry.
Yeah. Well, now it does, but when you arrived, it didn't.
Okay.
But so it does look like probably an inside job. You know, somebody had already been here, gotten in. They knew what they were looking for and were able to collect it relatively easily.
Okay. I'm going to ask Farb, how long have these incidents been occurring?
We called you as soon as we saw this. This has been the main theft was right here. This is, they seem to have taken everything at once. And this place is pretty well cleaned out. There's, you know, mm-hmm. not much left. You know, this wasn't done subtly.
Okay.
At this point, it was like they took their time to figure out what they needed. Everything was set, and then once they acted, they took everything at once. And at this point, a underling comes rushing in and says, Frarb, runs in, salutes. There's been an unauthorized vessel is taking off. Right now, they're heading out. What should we do? He turns to you and says, that's gotta be the thief. Can you stop him?
We'll do our best.
Jack Laser okay. thinks you should put your faith in the Lord, the low orbit ray of death. Fire that thing on.
Oh my god, that's great.
That's perfect.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we'll have to get one of those.
You don't have one? What kind of 2-bit operation are you running here?
That's kind of a 2-bit operation, to be honest. Right underground.
I literally just said that. Well, you know
and
what?
You're right.
You got gumption, kiddo. I like your style. I'm going to smoke me one of these smooth, lucky space cigarettes now. Take the edge off.
As he does that, I go moon running. Towards this.
Yeah.
No, I just go regular running.
We'll get back to the ship right after this short commercial break. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
For a word from our sponsors.
But yeah, I want to chase.
Okay. I want to chase. You get back into your ship just in time. You get to the landing bay. You can kind of see the little remaining glow of the rockets as they shoot out of the sky.
Can we make out what type of ship it is? Is it like a Martian ship or from some other planet?
You hear them talking that it's a mining vessel. It's kind of a you know, nondescript something they picked up. Again, this is an underground. It's a 2-bit operation, so they gather whatever ships they can.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in this case, it was just like an old mining thing.
So it we can assume it was taken from Deimos.
It was taken
from Deimos, and then now
correct.
It's here.
It was their ship, and somebody just hopped in, stole it, and took off. Cool.
All right, yeah, let's chase.
Okay.
We know that Tex is our pilot, I believe.
Let's see, my pilot role
unless...
is... if anyone's got anything better than 3 dice plus 5, they can be the pilot.
No, I'm 4D plus 2, so I think we'll just let you handle it.
We'll let you take it.
Okay. Cool. Actually, for 4D plus 2, I think you've got a little bit of an edge there. Maybe you should roll.
Potentially, maybe.
But we'll see what we need.
I can roll. That's fine.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll roll. Ooh, and my lucky die blew up. So rolling
nice. Again.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Jesus. 26.
That's pretty good.
The lucky That's die blew up twice, so I got nice. Basically.
Yeah.
13 plus 12.
26, you said?
Yeah, 26.
Okay.
Or 25.
Okay, that... They actually have 20... They had 23.
Oh,
so not bad, but still. So you are able to catch up with them. You can definitely see... you're closer. They're heading into the asteroid field. They're definitely... took off.
Not the asteroid field.
Yes. The asteroid field.
The odds of successfully navigating an asteroid field are 2 to 1.
Affirmative.
That's true.
Please attempt to disable their engines.
Does somebody want to take a fighter shot to try and see?
I will gladly take a fighter shot to disable their engines. This is Dirk Laser's time to shine.
I'm roll 3, add 4.
I am 4, add 3.
Ooh.
Go for it.
Dirk Laser's built for one thing. Firing lasers.
Oof, that was not a good roll.
Uh-oh.
That is a couple ones in there. Fuck stars. Okay, let's see here. That's going to be 4, 8, 11.
Ooh, they actually got 14.
Ooh, all
however,
right.
Now, normally, in a fight situation, it's a single contested role that represents both sides attacking, defending, the whole type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, when both sides roll, it's a contested roll, whichever side gets higher does damage to the other. So, normally, your ship would be taking damage here, but in this case, they're not firing back. They're just putting everything into their speed and ducking into the asteroid field to try and hide. So you don't take any damage yet.
Good thing
this is a turkey shoot. These space hippies don't even have weapons. I love it.
Why don't you give me another piloting roll?
Okay.
And
Tex.
3 plus 5. Less good. 14.
Okay. I got a 19, so it goes shooting into the asteroid belt, and you lose sight of it, but it can't be too far away. So, does somebody want to give a scientist roll to see if you can maybe track down where it might be
gone?
That
is definitely going to be Tex.
That's not going to be me.
Tex is the only smart one.
Well, no. Well, yeah, smart but not clever. So, okay.
I'm the clever one, so I mean, that's okay. We balance each other out, Tex. That's why we're the dynamic duo we are.
Okay, 14, 20, 25.
25. Oh yeah, you definitely you can see that yeah, you can definitely tell that they're up ahead. There's a little bit of break in the asteroids, and it's obviously up there hiding behind a larger asteroid, so you know exactly where it is.
Captain, sensors indicate they are hiding behind the upcoming orbital debris.
Interesting.
Plotting course.
Dirk, how would you advise?
Well, I don't like cowards, so we should fly up there and shoot them.
He's going to get along great with Tex.
Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, it's not too hard to fly up there. Just before you pounce on them, you realize there are more of these mining ships waiting in ambush. And
the cowards.
Yes, you are kind of being ganged up on now. So,
don't like cowards or bushwhackers.
let's start with a pilot roll to see how well you're how well you're ambushed.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
9, 12, 17. 22. Okay. Yes, you are definitely not surprised. So these guys can swing around and but you're not completely taken by disadvantage. So, who wants to somebody going to start fighting you?
I am.
Your way out. What are you going to do?
Dirk Laser is going to start fighting.
That's a fighter roll.
Okay, much better this time. 11, 14, 18, plus
3, 21. Ooh. 21 out. Okay, well, unfortunately, they got 33.
Wow! Heck!
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. You're pretty outnumbered. So, you subtract those two. Now, you got, what did you say, a 20?
21.
21.
I believe now would be the wonderful time to use the game mechanic of the plot twist.
Okay, Captain, go for it.
No, it's just that's just advice.
Oh. Okay.
Because that's a fairly large number that's probably more than health would be. But I don't know what.
The way this works, you're a size 2 ship. So what you do is you take the two highest types that of the three of you. So who has Tex?
Tex has a 5.
Tex has a 5.
I have a 4.
And Dirk?
I have a 4.
You have a 4. So
also a 4.
You get it. Your ship has a total of 9 damage points.
Yeah, we've exceeded that.
Yes, you have. So your ship is knocked out of action. And then 3 points goes to Dirk was firing, so yep. Probably going to go to him.
Well, didn't the captain have a plot twist?
He didn't say he was playing it, and he didn't. I mean,
definitely it would be the time to.
Yes.
I mean, we all technically have plot twists.
We do.
Because we start the game with them.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, I guess since I'm the pilot, when they swirl around to focus their inbound volley on us, I will dive behind one of the nearby ships and have him intercept the lethal laser blasts.
Okay, nope. I've already described what happens. You can't use plot twists to negate what has happened.
Okay, gotcha.
You can only use it to say, this is why I wanted it. Why I wanted that to happen.
Okay,
gotcha.
So if you had said that before I explained the damage, that would have been acceptable.
Yeah, Zach.
So you gotta, yeah. So yes, plot twists can be played at any time as an basically as an interrupt, but they can't be used to negate what has happened.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so your ship is powerless, and you are the mining vessels close in. They kind of got some grappers that they kind of grip the ship, and they start flying you towards a large asteroid. And as you approach this asteroid, giant doors, kind of clamshell doors, open into a landing bay that they pull you into and set you down on the deck. And then the big giant outer doors close. And there you are. What are you going to do?
What does it look like around us? Like, are there beings?
People, yes, actually, yeah. You can look out the window. You can see this place is buzzing with activity. There's, you know, some other mining ships. There's, various things going in and out. The majority of the occupants are red dwarves, which are the occupants of the planet Pluto. And they do a lot of mining throughout the solar system, especially within the asteroid belt. And some of them are standing outside waiting for you with basically mining tools as weapons.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a lot of them.
All right. I'm just going to boldly and brashly go down the ramp, because that sounds like the Dirk Laser move.
And I will follow.
that's the Dirk Laser way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll step down there and I'll be like, hey, listen, Buster, what's the big idea? You're throwing some kind of space hootenanny up here? What's going on?
Bring the others. Follow us.
Dirk Laser takes orders from no one. I'm going to go that way because I feel like it. Not because you told me to. Because I'm a free man and a capitalist, and that's my right.
Perfect.
Beautiful. And I'm just going to follow.
All right. Okay. So, plot twist. They're going to take us to their leader, who is Anastasia Moscow, who is someone that I know and have some unresolved romantic tension with.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
Because she's a filthy communist.
Perfect.
They do seem to be, yes.
What was that name?
Anastasia Moscow.
Perfect. So yes, they start they weed you through the base and eventually come into a kind of half throne room, half control room. There's monitors, there's things going on, there's various computers doing computery things with the big whirling tape decks and flashing lights. And sitting in the main control chair is a Yurian named Dr. Anastasia Moscow, who you indeed know from your dealings in the outer planets.
Anastasia Moscow, I'd recognize those voluptuous curves under that ill-fitting gray jumpsuit anywhere.
Dirk Laser. I should have known you would have found my little operation.
Dirk Laser goes where Dirk Laser's needed, and right now Dirk Laser's gotta stop the Reds. That's not a dig on you guys being red. It's I'm an educated man of the world. That's fine by me. It's just your ideology that I object to.
I've got red friends.
I have a red friend.
Nice. Well, it doesn't matter. You're too late, my friend.
Too late for what? That's a little
late for what?
Kind of vague.
It's kind of, yeah.
Leaving me hanging here, Anastasia. I thought we had something.
It's never too late for a body slam.
So you don't know why you're here?
Some stuff got stolen.
We know exactly why we're here.
We know, but do you know?
You say it first.
Fine. We are here to rid the system of the inner planets, which will allow the outer planets to finally take their place in the warmer orbits, where they will finally have an opportunity to thrive and flourish.
Wait. You can't just do that.
How inner are we talking about here? Like, we're like, what's the cutoff?
We can live without Mercury.
Because my planet's real planets. Big. Which moving that thing's going to be super difficult. You can fit like 10 million Earths in my planet. I think that's right.
That's too science-y for me. I don't know. what we're going to do from this grand operation satellite, I have a force ray, which is I'm going to be able to use to fling the asteroids of the asteroid belt at the inner planets, knocking them from their orbits and causing them to tumble into the sun. Not only is this going to clear out all of the inner planets, it'll clear out the asteroid belt and allow the outer planets to fall into closer orbits. And the extra planets will enlarge the sun, making it even warmer and better for all the outer planets.
So your weapon is the forcible asteroid ray of tumbling. It's the fart. You're going to have a big fart and blow all those inner planets away. That's where we're going with this.
You get me so well. I knew you'd get it. I knew you'd understand.
Dirk Laser's kind of the worst, and I love him.
Yes. So, Dirk, are you with me? Are you willing to help me make the outer planets great again?
Well, that's a catchy slogan and all, and I do like it. However, there's a lot of money on those inner planets. We should find some way to catch them and extract all the value out of them, and then you can leave them lifeless, burnt-out husks. That's the Dirk Laser way.
There's no time for this. I'm too busy for this. Separate them and prepare them for their individual trials. To keep it interesting, use the gas, and also have the robot's programming set to K-479.
Error, not K-479. Error.
Suddenly, the Red Martians kind of zap you with a knockout ray, and all of you lose consciousness.
Oof.
When you awaken, you're alone. Each of you are alone in a mist-filled enclosure. Single room, very, very foggy, very hard to see. But you're sensing that there are other things in here with you. Dirk, what you are sensing...
Did she have me changed into, like, the Sean Connery outfit from Zardoz? That, like, red thing with the straps on the...
You mean you weren't wearing that already?
Good.
Kind of seems like what she'd do.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, I can see that.
All right.
Kind of makes your junk look like a baked potato.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, filling this thing out nicely.
So, through the mist, you see two robots that look similar to Tex. And there's one stone burrower, which is kind of like a giant rat, but with teeth capable of, but is capable of spitting acid, which burrows through rocks. These things are kind of common in a lot of mines and mining planets. Billy, you see the same thing. Two robots and a stone burrower. Tex, you see two stone burrowers and a robot. So, the mist is kind of flowing in and out. These other creatures are kind of coming in and out of your vision. What are you doing?
And I'm sorry, we've been separated, right? We're not together?
Yeah, we're all correct. Separate.
Okay.
Do I have a laser?
Yes, you have your weapons.
All right, I'm going to start firing tools. My laser.
Okay, who are you firing at?
That rat thing seems like it's a problem, so.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, and my luck die blew up. So that might be.
Ooh. 16, nice.
22.
Okay. I'm going to get everybody's totals before calculating this. Billy, one of the rat things spits acid at you. What are you doing?
I have so much meta knowledge right now.
Oh,
I think I know what's happening, but my character doesn't, so I'm going to play along. Do I feel different?
Huh?
Do I feel any different?
Not really.
No. Is there anything on the ground? Like, are there any rocks or anything on the ground near me?
No, it's pretty smooth.
Pretty smooth.
I mean, it's the chamber is made out of actual, you know, it's carved out of the actual asteroid, so it looks like rock, but there's no real loose rocks.
Gotcha.
In here.
Okay.
And the acid is flying at you. What are you doing? You don't have a lot of time to think this.
I'm leaping to the side. I'm leaping out of the way.
Okay, make a fighter roll.
Fighter. 11.
Not 11. Great. Okay. Tex, mm-hmm. A stone burrower is attacking you as well.
Okay. Initiate body slam protocol.
Go for it.
Yeah. Well, six. It's a fighter. It's a fighter roll, right?
Yes.
I am not clever. So. Oh wait, no. Actually, hold on. I it's strong, and then you add your clever to that, so it's 3+1.
Yeah.
I made the wrong roll. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
There we go. 12. So much better.
12. Okay.
Who wants some body slam?
Gotcha. All right. So, what happens is, Captain Reason, you take 11 points of damage.
Ouch.
Which
I don't have 11 points yet.
Okay, yeah, you're knocked unconscious.
Again. because we were just unconscious and we woke up. So now I'm back unconscious again.
Tex, you hit the thing, and you seem to have done some damage. So next round,
what's my result?
Huh?
What
you hit the thing that spit at you?
Okay.
How did Dirk Laser do?
You hit your target.
Okay. Great.
So. All right. So, Tex, there is still the robot and one more of the stone burrowers, that you're seeing through the mist. Dirk, you are seeing, you are just seeing two stone burrowers, or two robots.
All right. I blasted my little stone burrower to smoking bits.
Yes.
Great.
So.
I might save that for later. I might need to eat it.
Who are you going after next?
Are the robots, they seem threatening, or are they just kind of...
Yes, one of the robots, you can't really tell who, but you know one of the robots attacked. Actually, both robots seem to have attacked.
Okay, all right, yeah, then I'm going to fire at one of the robots.
Okay.
Nothing personal, I got a robot friend, I can introduce him to him after this is over, if you're not, you know, smoking slag heaps.
Gotcha, make another fighter roll.
All right, I will do that. Ooh, hello. Is 15, 21, 24.
Okay.
My, he's hit a big one.
Eat hot laser, robot scum. Again, have a robot friend, so it's okay.
Mark's doing heavy math in his brain right now.
Yes. All right, Tex, you want to make a roll?
Absolutely. Okay, I got a 13.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my... We're looking at a fighter roll, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You're definitely going for the body slam?
Yes, but I am stating it loudly beforehand. Initiate body slam protocol, as always.
Okay. All right. You kind of attack, but you just kind of like miss. You don't see anything. Dirk, you do hit your target. Oh, yeah, you take it out, actually.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, the...
looks like it's a scrap heap for you, Buster.
Actually, the mist clears, and instead of a robot, you see the dead body of a stone burrower.
Mm.
And you also see the unconscious body of Captain Billy Reason. And Tex is standing there.
All right. Captain, this is no time for sleeping on the job. We got to get up and stop that fart.
Attempting to reassemble Captain Reason.
Reassemble.
Yes.
Wait,
yeah.
No, don't. Stop.
I'm unconscious. Stop him from trying to reassemble me. That's not how humans work.
I try to craft a reasonable prosthetic out of the pieces of the dead rock burrower.
I'm gonna take some of the charred rock burrower flesh and wave it under the captain's nose.
Nice.
No, it ain't no smelling salt, but burned fur will do in a pinch.
Well, I'm going to make a doctor roll and see if I can actually like help him recover whatever his roll is. So
perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. 5 plus 1. So 16, 19,
21. 21. Okay. You are able to cure all of his injured damage. So he is... He is only, so all of your injured damage is repaired.
So I'm at 0 winded, 0 wounded.
What's that?
And I'm down to my...
Did I get a chance to graft on the mandibles yet?
Not yet, no. No, your injured damage is repaired. You still have winded and wounded, so you're still... You're still at injured status, but you have no injured.
Gotcha.
So, but you can get up and function at least.
Sweet.
But you're definitely.
I has 2 down. Points.
You're healthy enough to resist further treatment. In air quotes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Captain, you know what'll help you? Lucky Space cigarette, the smooth Carolina smoke.
It'll fill your lungs.
It is with, the smoothest.
It'll fill your lungs with tastiness. And I light a cigarette and I hand it to him. I don't even ask. I just put it in his lungs.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I just take it.
All right. And then I light one up too, and I'd be like, "Oh, here's one for you, Tex. You can't have one. You poor, sorry robot bastard. You'll never know
looks
what this
like
is
more
like."
More for me.
Nice.
Negative. Tex loves the smooth taste of Lucky Slims.
Well, then you have one too. Lucky Space cigarettes.
I
available
take the cigarette.
Wherever fine cigarettes are sold.
I slide it into the little slot on my chest that I use to eject business cards and take a long draw and breathe it out and say, "Ah."
Indeed. Let's all have a long ah. Ah.
Yeah. The hallucinogenic gas didn't get you, but the smoke. Yeah. Nice.
Only commies don't smoke.
That's right. Okay, so now you need to find a door. That's going to require a engineer roll.
I can try it for...
Yeah, but you're going to be downgraded, right? Because of your injuries?
Oh, fuck, yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, you're...
Yeah. But I'm not doing anything.
I'm 3D plus 2, so I guess
that's
I'll give
it way
a
better
shot
than me, yeah.
Tell you what I will allow. If you want to do it, I'll say Billy is helping, which gives you advantage. That means two of your dice can be lucky dice.
All right, we'll try that out.
Beautiful.
And you're shooting for a 15, by the way.
Okay, so that is a 4, a 7, and nope, that's going to be an 11. Didn't make it.
11?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else want to give it a shot?
What's sealed in? Texas, they must have welded the wall shut behind us.
Okay, I'll give it a shot, but you realize my clever is 1, so.
Well?
Okay, I'm rolling. Well, 8, I guess. I get the plus 5.
Okay. And remember that if you use a plot twist, it has to be before I tell you the results.
Okay, I'll use a plot twist.
Okay.
I say, initiate door protocol, and I grab the rock burrower and use it to batter and ram my way through the wall.
Okay. So... you don't find the door, but you create a door.
Okay.
Basically.
Fair enough.
Create a door. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. So yeah, you burst through and
now that we're out in the hall, do we clearly see where the door is?
It's like,
yes.
2 feet to the left of where I was. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah, you were so close.
And as I look over at him, I'm like, "Oh, there's the door. Huh, you wanted me to find a door."
Sensors indicate design flaw.
Okay, so at this point, you need to make an athlete roll to sneak through the complex.
Ooh.
This is, and again, I'll let one of you take the lead and...
it's gonna be Dirk Laser.
There you go. I'll let you lead the way. You don't. I can't really say you have advantage because you're kind of, you're kind of taking
the
other
guy you. Blew up.
Oh, there you go.
11 plus 6. That's going to be 17, 21 plus 4, 25.
Boom. Okay. You very easily lead the whole group.
This new outfit lets me slink around like a cat. I kind of love it, even though it rides up a little bit. How's the view from back there, fellas?
Okay, so you follow the corridor down, and it opens into a catwalk that kind of circles a large open control room. Down below, you see Dr. Moscow as she's leading and organizing activity throughout. Several things are going on, and the computers and control consoles are kind of leading up to these force controllers, which are up on the level where you are, and in the center is a large atomic reactor, kind of center case of the control room, and the force rays are up on your level. So,
all right,
you had pretty easy access to the force rays.
So she's she's a Urian, right? They're like bird creatures.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
Well, yes. Boys, what do you say? It's time we pluck this chicken. Again, it's okay because she's my friend.
So you've plucked her in the past. Okay.
A gentleman never tells, but let's just say a lot of Lucky Space cigarettes were smoked that night.
Bravo, my friend.
Yes, yes. Well played.
So we can make our way over to the space rays then? Mm-hmm. We have access to those?
Force rays?
You have pretty easy access to those.
Okay.
If you want to try and take those out, you should be able to do that. If you do that quickly and easily enough, you might be able to do it without being spotted.
Yeah, we can try that.
There are six of them.
Mm. Okay. What kind?
So would we have to do this six times?
Yes.
Between the three of us, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two of us, because I'm useless. Basically, yeah.
I'm not so great an engineer. So,
well, I will say that this is a very easy thing to do.
Okay,
you're sabotaging it. It's pretty easy to pull the plug. So, it's
fair.
Can I make a scientist roll for this?
You know what? Go ahead and make a. I'll let you make a scientist roll, and if you're successful, you can give everybody advantage.
Okay.
By telling them how to do it.
I'll make a scientist roll and deactivate the alarms for
all them those dice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. 23.
Great. Yeah. You can tell them pull this plug here. Stay low. You should be able to do that without being seen from the bottom. So everybody has advantage on a engineer role.
Okay.
So since I'm just on injured, what would all of my values be two?
We fixed your injured level. Mm-hmm. You're at wounded now.
You didn't fix any of his wounded damage. So no, his wounded damage is still full.
Yeah, but reduce his first type value is reduced.
Now equal to his second type value, yeah.
Yeah, so his first and second type are the same value.
So he'd be a three. Oh. Yeah. Because your clever goes from four to three.
Okay.
Right.
But well, your wounded is still full, so.
Yeah, so I only have 2 points of health in injured. That's all I have.
So you're basically going off your lowest type.
Which is two.
Yeah.
Correct. Oh, okay. So I healed up your injured level. I gotcha. Not
right.
So it doesn't get your level.
So would it be roll two right. add two? I would say.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So,
but we have advantage.
It's still better than I'm rolling.
Advantage. You have advantage, and your target is five.
Oh, geez. Okay. I got a 22.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a plus five, so actually, I should be able to get five.
I got eight.
I got 10.
Eight. Perfect. So there's three. Now you got to make your way around and get the other three.
All right. Okay.
Do we still have advantage?
Yes.
Okay.
I get my second one just as I'm finishing my cigarette.
Seven.
17.
Perfect. Yeah, you nine. Very easily do this. However, when you as you pull the plug on the last force ray, you hear an alarm go off down below. You hear people starting to scream and panic. They're starting to look up at where you are. You realize that the atomic reactor has already been engaged in order to power these force rays. And without being able to engage the actual force rays, the atomic reactor is going to overload in a matter of minutes. So you might need to try and get to your ship. So
time to hop, skip, and a jump.
We just unplugged these things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it shut down the linkage.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Your goal was to do it in a way.
Yeah, I just want to make sure they can't come back up here, plug them back.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. It's.
We cut the cords.
Effectively sabotage.
I'll be happy to smash something on your way out. Like, that's kind of my MO. So
yeah,
we unplugged the cord from the wall and we cut the cord.
Right.
It's not on it anymore. Yeah. We took the plugs with us.
And perfect. I ejected a business card. So when they come up to see what happens, boom.
Excellent.
Hey, Tex.
Yeah.
Eject two this time.
Two? Okay. For you, anything, Captain. Okay.
So, So yeah, a couple of the people, including Dr. Moskow, are starting to shoot lasers up at your direction, and I assume you're going to make a run for it back to the ship.
Yeah, I want to cavalierly look down at her and go, "Hey there, sweetheart, don't get your feathers in a ruffle. Try these Lucky Space cigarettes, the smooth Carolina smoke. It'll calm you right down, and I'll toss a pack down to her." Bolt.
Nice. Yeah. She screams in frustration and stomps on the cigarettes and says,
"Communist,
get geez. Them."
Okay. So what's the way out look like?
You got kind of a clear shot right now. Cool, go ahead and make. Is there gonna be some athlete rolls to make a run for it?
Okay.
To get to the ship.
Is there like flashing red lights and is there that like?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
Subsystems are starting to explode as you run past them too. So
I'm hobbling along behind everybody, but every time we go to a new camera shot, I somehow am caught up with everyone. So
yes, exactly right.
Okay. I got 15.
Okay, good.
I got 18.
14.
18? Yep. Okay, good.
And 14 for me.
14. Okay. Mm. Anything you want to use?
I want to use a plot twist.
Okay. Got one?
Yeah, explain it.
Okay.
As we're running down, I'm assuming it's a corridor. What does the structure look like?
Yeah, it's a corridor. It's kind of carved out of the natural rock for the most part. There are a couple of cross ways that you run past. You see some red Martians charging after you. Some are charging after you, some are running to try and save themselves, some are trying to stop the destruction. So there's a lot of just frantic behavior all around. And you're falling behind the others a little bit.
Are the rock carvers, are they machines, I'm assuming, that we've seen in the past? Like,
there's a lot of mining equipment.
Is there some mining equipment? I want to, as we're kind of running away, I want to find some, you know, a bigger piece of equipment and kind of, put a brick on the gas pedal situation and kind of turn it on and set it going towards the people that are running after us.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe
put a space potato in the tailpipe.
In the tailpipe. Okay, yeah, you find like a Pargo or something. Yeah. And you do that. You set a rock on the thing and it goes shooting down the hall. You see a bunch of red Martians kind of frantic before the rock of the tailpipe blows up and kind of causes a collapse there. Meanwhile, Dirk and Tex have made it back to the ship.
I want to make it clear, while I was running there too, I was cavalierly just blasting people in the back who were like ahead of us running.
Oh, running around.
Absolutely. You know what? Go ahead and make a fighter roll. Let's just see how well, you sure. know.
How see how cavalierly you do it.
Yeah.
All right. So that's going to be... that's going to be 17.
Okay. Yeah, you take out several of these...
defenseless Martians who are running yeah. away.
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. Great, that's what I was after.
So, yeah, you do that. You get to the ship. Tex, you're going to power it up and...
Absolutely, yeah.
Take off?
Once the captain's okay. on board, I'm going to go ahead and fly us out okay. of there.
I'm going to pilot this time, I think.
Oh, you want to? Go for you're it. Gonna, go for yeah. it.
Perfect, okay. Yeah, you're lifting, you know, you get it powered up. You're ready to go. You know, the systems are about to go. You can tell the you're getting a countdown timer that says it's almost you know, the reactor should be going any second now. Captain Reason comes charging out of the entryway, rushing to the ship. Tex, I assume, are you in the door waiting for him?
Yes.
Perfect. Why don't, Captain Reason, why don't you make a athlete roll to see if you can, jump for the door? Tex is there to help you, so, you can have advantage.
I'll make an athlete roll to catch him.
Okay.
Oh, 2 sixes?
Oh yeah,
and since I have advantage, they both explode. So
they both explode.
Okay, that's what you got
so far? And another 6. So
18. Roll again. Keep on rolling.
Yeah. And, oh wait a minute! No.
Oh no! One, just add another
six. Total of 18.
Another total of 6. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You.
Oh wait. 20. 20. I didn't add 2.
Even better. Okay. You jump, Tex grabs you in the doorway, pulls you in, slams the door just as the countdown hits 0. Dirk, you want to make a pilot roll to,
yep. I rolled that. I got a 20 total. So I'll say
20 total.
Strap in there, buckaroos. We're going to show you how the Jupiters fly these rust buckets.
Yes, you and with that you hit the gas and go exploding out of the asteroid just as it explodes dramatically behind you.
Beautiful.
But you can still see the wires.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
The ship.
it explodes and then falls down.
Yeah.
Well, fellas, that was a humdinger of an adventure. And I pull out a pack of cigarettes and I hand one to everybody and I light one up.
And we get a circle wipe on the end with us there smoking away.
I'm not even sure where I'm keeping those things in this outfit.
And that's it. That's your Astro Adventure.
Man,
that was beautiful.
All right, now I want to take this opportunity, now that we're done with the gameplay, we are going to transition into our segment of RPG Reflection. In RPG Reflection, we talk about our last gaming session. Yeah, we literally just did it. But Mark, I'll let you take the reins and we'll do some reflection.
Well, obviously this is the game that I wrote, not only the adventure, but the actual system. So I'm really eager to turn it over to you guys and see, what did you think? Did you have fun?
I'll take that over a little bit, and I'll go. I'm gonna hand this to Adam because, you know, Mark's heard from us.
That's true.
as far as what we think about this game, because we've played it several times. So, Adam, what do you think? What are your first impressions?
I had a lot of fun. I had a very like Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers-y kind of vibe and experience to it. You know, Dirk Laser was a lot of fun to play. He was he was kind of absolutely obnoxious, which is
yeah, it's great. I love it.
Kind of hard for the course when when I run these characters. But yeah, he was, he was really enjoyable to interact with and interact with the system and kind of go around and just do, you know, like it felt like a classic golden era type of adventure.
Good.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. Again, when we talk about this, we give about 50% or more to Mark's GMing abilities.
You know,
he does a really good job with story writing and stuff. So
yeah, he did a really great job. It was a like a classic kind of go fetch the MacGuffin adventure with the the nice twist of we built the super laser and
No, it was very swashbuckling and pulpy. You nailed it. You know, again, on the downside, I might have lung cancer now, but overall. It was awesome. I really enjoyed
it. You're a robot. You're fine.
Yeah, you're a robot.
You just need to swap out a filter.
Oh, I checked on my terminal, and I've got terminal cancer.
That's good. But yeah, let's go over to the system for a minute. What do you think about the system?
Yeah.
As far as how well did it flow? I mean, how easy was it to grab? Stuff like that. I've said this before, but it's a very simple, super easy to get to know the system. So there's really very little investment to just get going and build a character in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then play a game.
The dice.
So it all works really well.
Yeah, there's not a lot of question as to what role you're supposed to be making, which is nice. I like that. So
right,
good.
It's easy to grok that. It's easy to grok how your character is made and interacts. And, you know, it's like if you're average at something, you stand a pretty average chance of pulling it off at a standard difficulty of 15. And if you're not as good at something, then, yeah, you stand less of a chance at pulling it off.
And we've run into this before when we've played and we've talked about it, but once again, like it's also pretty easy to get one-shotted. And that's part of the design. You know, you don't have a lot of like wounded people dealing with long-term injuries and Flash Gordon. So, you know, either you get death rate or not. So
the other part of it too, is with the genre, there's, you know, it's not really a death kind of genre. So, for example, Zach got wiped out, but it's not a kill. He's okay. He's unconscious.
Let's talk about that by you guys.
yeah, pretty much. And I think we all knew exactly what was going on. I just wanted an opportunity to body slam Zach. So,
is that what took me out? Is the body slam?
I don't think so. I think it was the lasers, right?
No, yeah, it was actually a laser.
Yeah, Dirk laser blasted you. Dirk.
Yeah, that was a great roll. Yeah. I had like a garbage roll, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had 11 on that roll, and yeah. But yeah, super, super easy system to get to know and get to play in really quickly, and it's a lot of fun.
Good. Good, that's the goal.
We've played it several times now, and now we've played it with Adam here. And it's a lot of fun.
No, that's great.
I like it. I love it every time.
Good.
Yeah,
and thank you, Adam. I appreciate your.
Oh yeah, no problem. I'm always happy to show up and do voices. And
yeah, Adam loved the character. By the way, like that character was perfect. That was great.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun. When I read it, I was kind of like, I know exactly what I need to do here. I just need to rein in my urge to play Zap Brannigan. So. Yeah. Because that was the other way I could have taken it. Well, hello there.
Well, good. Yeah,
but yeah, all right, I think that'll wrap it up. We've been playing and talking for a while now, but
well, I think just let me I'd just like to say one more time, if you do like this, if this sounded fun to you, it's Astroventure at DriveThruRPG. So
yeah,
and feel free to, what's it's, it done?
A dollar and some change.
$1.99, I think it is.
$1.99.
You can't go wrong.
A couple bucks.
For download and play.
Toss Mark a couple bucks and get this fun, awesome, weird, pulpy adventures you can have. And basically, open playground that you can just
True.
Just open up and have some fun.
It's good stuff.
But, gentlemen, my regular crew, thank you for joining me today. Adam Sink, thank you for joining me today. Thank Is there anything you would like to plug as well?
Yeah, check out Full Metal RPG. We're on Facebook, Full Metal RPG. Email fullmetalrpgofficial@gmail.com. And we have a Patreon as well. So check us out. I believe we're on Podbean now.
Did you swap over to Podbean over there?
We did. We swapped over there because we were having some trouble with SoundCloud. So yeah, now we're over on Podbean. So yeah, check us out if you want to hear people kind of opine on role-playing games kind of general and as a, you know, entertainment and art form.
Absolutely. But thank you everybody for joining me, and I think we'll wrap it up there.
And that's it for this episode of Tabletop Radio Hour. Like always, you can find this episode on soundcloud.com/tabletopradiohour and on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter @tabletopcast if you have any questions or comments. You can join us over on facebook.com/tabletopradiohour for regular updates. We also have an email address that is tabletopradiohour@gmail.com. Our website, tabletopradiohour.wordpress.com. You can find information about our Patreon page on our website. I want to thank you all for listening, and keep rolling 20s.